I just have a value system that says it's not about the money. It's about building something you believe in. It's about serving other people. It's about work ethic. It's about showing up and working.
The only thing that stops you from getting what you want in life is the bullshit story you tell yourself.
Don't be a follower, be a student. Take advice, but not orders. Take information, but don't let somebody order your life. Make sure what you do is the product of your own conclusion, not to do what someone else says. Take what someone else says, process it, think about it, ponder it. If it makes you wonder, if it makes you think, then it's valuable. Then when you go take action, make sure that the action is not what somebody told you to do. Make sure the action is the product of your own conclusion. If you'll follow just a little bit of those simple guidelines, telling you the learning process can be speedy, swift, powerful. Your learning curve can go up, and then applying it to your business, your life, your family, conversations, equities of all kinds. You'll find some progress like I did that first 5 years when I met a teacher willing to share with me, turn my life around. Progress I couldn't believe happened for me.
There's a gap between who people are and what they tell you they want to accomplish.
Now the process of taking myself from scrounging in my couch cushions to find enough change to put gas in my car to building a billion-dollar business was all about building a set of beliefs. Now I believe that the Matrix has us all. I don't actually think we live in a simulation, but I think the movie The Matrix is the perfect metaphor for the human experience. We have all pulled a web of lies over our own eyes, and the web of lies is what you tell yourself about what's possible for you and for the world. And once you get that web of lies over your eyes, you simply see it as reality, and you don't understand that each one of those fundamental beliefs is alterable, that you could choose to believe something else. In fact, you don't even realize that they are beliefs. Einstein has a quote. It's one of the most important quotes in my life. The most important question any man must decide for himself is whether or not he lives in a friendly or hostile universe. Now, what I love about that quote is what's hiding in it is that it's a decision. You get to choose whether you're living in a friendly or a hostile universe. There's no objective reality. It just is what it is. You're going to get what you see. You're going to get what you focus on. And you see what you focus on.
You can much more easily survive the next crisis, the next winter of your life, if you have well set goals, finely tuned, places you want to go, things you want to do, people you want to meet, skills you want to develop, fortune you want to make, benevolence you want to engage in. If all of that becomes powerful and clear and you're on your way, I promise you, no matter what happens, those goals will pull you through. You won't be lost in the middle because you'll be able to see beyond.
But I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if we can accept the possibility of that this is the decade of consciousness. That's what I believe that this is. The decade of consciousness, if you please. A time where we can begin to create in folks' minds the idea, the possibility that we can create a more humane society, the possibility that we can create more love, communication, and understanding in relationships, the possibility that we can create a drug-free America, the possibility that we can create the kind of respect for diversity and difference in our multicultural society, the possibility that we can begin to develop the mindset to bring out the best in people, to encourage them to achieve their greatness and support them in their dreams, that if we can, in this decade of consciousness, to begin to see and envision that happening, and that we all can play a role, that we were born for such a time as this, that we showed up for this, that we survived 1 out of 9 million sperms, and we have been chosen for this great work. What an exciting time to be alive. Here's something else to recognize. Wherever you are on the ladder of life, and I was reading in Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's latest book called The Power of Positive Living, which I think is his greatest work. And he has something in there, a section called Comeback Power. Wherever you are in life, ladies and gentlemen, you've got comeback power. I don't care how low you are. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what you have experienced. I don't care how devastated your life might appear to be. The shambles it might be in. There's a power in you that can enable you to be stronger and better than anything that's out here. One man who came for the training, he was not a kid. And I knew he had a drinking problem, and he was looking at me, and I can smell alcohol on him. I said, excuse me, come here, come here, come here. He said, what is it? I said, let me tell you something. I want you to know you've got something in you that's stronger than that poison you're putting in your body. Do you understand me? And he was looking, he was backing up. He said, no. He said, I don't know, man. I said, it is. I said, that's why you're here. Something drew you here. And that which caused you to come, you said you want some help. And you need to be around some people that can help you get in touch with your power, because you know that your life deserves this. See, I think that the reason that we abuse ourselves with drugs and alcohol is that we're trying to numb something in us that's aching us, that's urging us, that's nagging us to do something bigger and better. It can't be because it tastes so good. It can't be because crack feels so good or cocaine. Is not that simple. That when we are deluding ourselves or polluting our minds, it numbs us where we don't have to face reality. Because we don't know what we've got going for us. See, once you discover who you are, the truth of knowing who you are will set you free from ever wanting alcohol, from ever wanting any kind of drug that's going to destroy who you are. Once you begin to know who you are, it will set you free from believing, I can't see myself doing any better. Once you discover this power, this the perfect essence of who you are, that's in all of us, that's permeating our being, that enable us to be the directors of our lives, that you truly can live a healthy, happy, prosperous life, and that you can make it in what are called the worst of times. I think it was Robert Shuley said, tough times never last, but tough people do, and you are tough.
And so goals are really empty to me. I have a thing on goal setting, but like my big thing is that you show me someone with compelling, emotional, gigantic reasons, I'll show you someone who's changing their standards all day long. So like, give you one quick version that you've not heard before. One of the reasons I'm relatively fit is not just peak state. I have an uncle in my family that died at 50 years old of a heart attack. He's my godfather, my dad's only brother. I kind of resembled him. And I look like him a lot. So on the way back from his funeral, my reticular activator's on heart attacks. On the TV screen on the airplane, I'm listening to music, is the Oprah Winfrey show. She's going through a new heart scan. I unplug my headphones, plug it into the airplane one. They're talking about this new scan at Cedars-Sinai that at that time was new. It could read the plaques in your arteries, the calcifications, without going, you know, really invasively. I scheduled it. I went in. I had a world-class doctor who understood reasons and leverage instead of just prescribing. When we coach people, you need to do this, you need to do this. Doctors do it. Take this pill, take this. He understood leverage and reasons. What you do is you take the scan, then you go to lunch, you come back. I took the scan, I went to lunch, I had a burrito. I came back and I'm in the lobby. When I walk in, I sit down, the doctor comes up and he says, oh my, I can't believe these arteries are in that young body. Got my attention. We walk back in, we sit down. He could still go, you need Crestor, eat clean, get out of here. Isn't that what an average doctor does, right? No, wired me with huge reasons. He goes, let me ask you a question. I heard your wife's pregnant. I said, yeah, I have a son. And he says, do you want to be there when he graduates from high school to be there for that day? I said, yes, sir, yeah. He goes, your wife's pregnant. What do you have? And I said, a daughter. This is where you get a dad. He goes, she was 6 months pregnant. He goes, would you like to walk her down the aisle on her wedding day, or are you okay that it's some other man? I went, what the f*** is on this scan, right? Like, and he goes, I want to be very clear with you. If you keep going down the road you're going, there'll be some other man with your son at graduation high school, and a stranger's walking your daughter down the aisle. It's not even born yet on her wedding day. And I went, boom. And he goes, but if you do exactly what I tell you to do, you'll be there. And so to this day, brother, there are mornings when I wake up, not every morning, I don't want to go to the gym. I go, Bella's wedding, Bella's wedding, Bella's wedding. So my standards are high because of my big old reasons. Other dudes may miss the gym that day because they're not going to miss their daughter's wedding if they don't go, but I've convinced myself I will. I get emotional. I've convinced myself I'll miss my daughter's wedding. So I will get my ass out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and I will get to that gym because my reasons are bigger, so my standards are higher. So that's what I think causes us to have great standards is huge reasons.